He nods.
Be back at the clubhouse tonight, he demands, rather than asks. I want to confide my insecurities of being at the club. Tell him how much I want to claw Gia and Dolly's eyes out. But I know firsthand how unsexy that is. I need to stand my ground when it comes to those two hooches. I fidget under him. Everything about this morning returning. Gia and Dolly. I didn't fuck them, he confides, and my eyes shoot to his. It's as if he read my mind. I'm many things, but I wouldn't do that to you. I don't care, I shrug, looking to the side. Right, he scoffs before sitting up. I guess you storming out this morning is how you normally act after getting fucked to the point you forgot how to breathe. He shoots me a look, and I swallow hard. He has me there. I was pissed and wanted out of there this morning and wouldn't normally act that way after a night of unforgettable sex. What did you expect when I was bombarded with women who can give you things I can't? I avoid eye contact as I just revealed my insecurities. Who says you can't? He replies ruggedly. Ignoring him, I reach down to pull my pants up, and then it hits me. We are in the back seat. The doors lock from the inside. Felix, how are we going to get out? He looks around. Shit, I forgot about that, he states, irritated. He tries to roll the window down, but it doesn't work. He grabs the faceplate on the door handle and jerks it off in one pull, breaking it. He really is like Tarzan. What are you doing? I gasp in horror. He grabs at the wires, piecing them together, and then tries the window again. It rolls down. My mouth drops in astonishment. Reaching out the window, he opens the door from the outside and climbs out. Meanwhile, I'm still sitting here looking at the door like an idiot. How did he know how to do that? Wait, who am I kidding? He's a fucking criminal, and the way he fucks me so good, I often forget that. I slide out of the back seat and go about fixing my hair as he rolls the window back up and tries to put the faceplate back the way it was. But it's broken. There is no fixing it. I'll figure something out. I'll arrest someone and blame it on them or something, I tell him. He chuckles, shutting the door. Grabbing me by the shirt, he pulls me to him and bites at my lips. But I pull away before he can make contact. God, I just want to lay in that back seat with him all day. Go get the bad guys. He stops, looking at the sky with an odd look. Or let them go. I'm not really sure what it is you do. He tilts his head to the side and I flip him off. He has no idea what it's like to have to judge every person that walks my way. I only arrest the ones who deserve it. That boy is just in a tough situation. He didn't deserve to have his life ruined when I had the potential to possibly change it for the better. I shrug. Felix's whole face softens as he looks at me with an unreadable look. What? He shakes his head, turning away. Giving a second look, he glances at me with dark eyes before making his way to his bike. There was something unspoken there. I just don't know what it was. Why does this have to be so hard? How'd the family meeting go? Everything okay? I ask Raven as she slides into the cruiser. Her hair is messy and her uniform is wrinkled. She smells like dirt, and her eyes have dark circles under them like she'd been crying. She looks at me with a confused look before snapping to. Oh, yeah, it will be, she fake smiles, buckling up. I smile, not really sure what she's talking about. Then again, Raven is an odd girl. Raising my hand to flip her visor up, Raven flinches and slaps at me out of fear. My eyes widen as she looks at me with pinched brows. I'm sorry, I... No, it's okay, I assure her. But my curiosity has me wondering why she just acted like a battered wife when I raised my hand. I just need some coffee or something. Didn't get much sleep, she mutters, looking out the window with red cheeks. I can always do coffee. I mask a smile and head toward my favorite coffee shop. So, how have you been? Raven asks as we sit outside the coffee shop. I shrug, eyeing the MDT with my coffee in hand. I can smell Felix on me, smell our scent lingering from the back seat. Fine, I guess. I try and mask my after-sex glow, my walking-on-cloud-fucking-nine excitement. She scoffs. Yeah, right. I can tell something is going on. Is it something with Jillian or the club? I lift an eye at her and her intrusive questioning. I wonder if she saw me with Felix or another member. Wouldn't surprise me the way the Sin City Outlaws are always following me around. There is a 403 at range line. I change the subject. Oh, a prowler, Raven says with excitement. I flinch that she actually knows that code. She never knows them. Looks like someone did their homework or got lucky. Yes, it is, I say, eyeing her from the side. I blow out a breath and turn the sirens on, heading in the way of the chaos and mischief. Pulling up to the residence, it's a small one-story house in a neighborhood that doesn't normally get a lot of violence. The house looks empty, as there's no blinds or curtains in the windows. There are flower beds out front and a birdbath right in the center. A stone walkway leads to the front door, which is open. 7:31, we are on scene of the 403, I inform dispatch.
Copy that, 14:15, dispatch replies back with a time.
Getting out of the car, I pull my gun from my holster and look around the perimeter. Raven steps in front of me, obviously wanting to take charge. I let her, as she really needs the experience. She steps into the house, making sure to look both ways with her gun raised. Las Vegas police, I announce, but it's silent. Raven steps into the other room before coming out of a door behind me. It's clear. She huffs out of breath. Lowering my gun, I narrow my brows at the scene, or lack thereof. The front door is open, but nothing is taken or disturbed, I inform, stepping into the kitchen. Just then, a sharp, hot pain radiates through my lower abdomen. Lowering my head to the pain, I notice a black-gloved hand pull a small knife out of my stomach. Blood spills behind the blade, staining my uniform and dripping on the cracked tile. My lips tremble as I follow the hand to an arm of a masked man or woman. Blood drips so fast from the cut, I become woozy instantly. I fall to the floor, clutching my side to try and stop the bleeding. The intruder leans down and I grab for my gun. He snatches my radio and kicks me over before I can even get my gun out. Fuck! I cry, furious and angry. Raven's department-issued boots come into my line of sight as she casually walks into the kitchen, and I gasp in pain. Glancing up at her, her eyes fall to mine, and she just stares at me. Go get him, I heave, but she just looks at me in silence. Did you stop him? I ask. But she's stoic, just staring at me with narrowed brows. Raven! Get help! Do something! I cry, the pain too much to bear. Sirens sound from outside, and Raven's head snaps in that direction. Sheriff's department is hollered from the living room. In here! I cry. Raven suddenly falls to her knees and covers my wound with her hands.
Oh, my God! What happened?
She asks in a tone of surprise. I eye her like she's lost her mind. Did she black out or something? What the hell is going on? A man jogs into the kitchen and finds us. Oh, shit, he gasps. Grabbing the radio on his shoulder, he calls it in. And an ambulance.
I'm Chewy and help is on the way. Is there anyone I can call?
He asks, looking oddly familiar. I think about calling Jillian, but that isn't smart. She needs to stay hidden being the president's old lady.
What about Jillian?
Raven suggests, like she read my mind. I grab Raven's hand with my bloody one, my body trembling as warm blood pools under me.
Do not call Jillian. Don't.
She will freak out and come to the hospital, I tell her. Her eyes flash, but she doesn't say anything.
Promise me, goddammit,
I demand, needing her to understand. But she just continues to nod her head. Seconds later, an EMT is kneeling beside me, observing the slice in my side and pumping an IV of pain reliever into the crook of my arm. Everything is a little fuzzy from the kitchen floor to being transported into the ambulance. My vision blurred and blacking around the edges. I'm jostled back and forth as the ambulance bounces out of the driveway and onto the main road. The medicine begins to relax me, and my mind wanders like a ping-pong ball in one of those games I played when I was younger. How did Raven miss that suspect in the kitchen? Will I die? When did the suspect run off? I wonder if Rocky is okay at the club. No, she gave an oath to protect me, her family in blue. The sound of thunder vibrates the ambulance, and my skin prickles with a recognition. Using all my might, I use my elbows to sit up and look out the windows of the ambulance, finding Felix following us on his motorcycle and a couple other club members. My chest fills with warmth that he's here, but I'm also pissed because that means Raven fucking called Jillian after I told her not to.
Ma'am, please lay back down, the EMT insists as he begins to attempt to patch my wound.
Lying back down, I can't help the big grin on my face. Giddiness racing through me like a young girl with a teenage crush. I may be sliced like a fucking fish right now, but Felix and the outlaws are escorting me to the hospital, making sure nothing else happens to me. I feel like family being protected, someone important. A frown crosses my face, and I can't decide if I'm overthinking things or it's the medicine in my arm. But which family do I belong to? Law enforcement or the outlaws?
Felix. Riding next to the ambulance, my heart beats in my chest faster than I can last remember. Jillian got a call from Alessandra's phone informing her there had been an accident, and she needed to come right away. It took everything Zeke had to make her stay at the clubhouse. I stay right behind the bus, making sure nobody else gets close to it. I don't know what happened, but I swear to God, if it has anything to do with the club, there will be repercussions. My hand grips the throttle tightly, as I hope Alessandra's okay. I should have been watching her at work, too. I never should have left. Zeke put me in charge of protecting her, and I feel like I failed. This could be work-related, but it might not be. If anyone saw us together, any of our rivals could have taken my discretions out on her. Our club may dabble in law enforcement, but a lot of others find it as betraying the codes of an MC. The ambulance pulls into the hospital, and I park right on the sidewalk, not giving a shit about the parking laws. My boys Machete, Gats, and Mac are right behind me. I jog up to the bus just as they begin to wheel her out. Blood stains her uniform, and a large patch is placed on the side of her beautiful stomach. My hands itch to fucking tear someone's head off for this. It looks painful, and the darkness inside of me wants to cause the terror that Alessandra might be feeling. She's drugged up and seems happy to see me, with that goofy-ass grin on her face. All I can feel is the urge for revenge. "What the fuck happened, Blackbird?" I whisper, gripping her cold hand. She interlocks her tiny fingers in mine, her blood staining my skin. She doesn't reply, as an oxygen mask is slipped over her face.
"Sir, are you family?"
The EMT with long blonde hair asks me, skeptically. I didn't even notice she was there, I was so involved with Alessandra. I look back down at Alessandra, who stares at me longingly. She may be drugged, but I can see, deep inside of those irises, she's hurt and scared. "Fuck yes, I'm family," I state forcefully, not taking my eyes off of her. I'm not letting her out of my sight, not until I know if this is club-related or not. Not until I know she is okay.
"Well, okay then, follow me,"
the EMT laughs, pushing the stretcher into the entrance of the hospital. Looking over my shoulder to my boys, I curl my hands into fists. "Someone will pay for this," I grit through clenched teeth. I stare at Alessandra. She's fast asleep and on the path to recovery. The cut was deep, but it was a clean cut. Nothing major was hit. She had a blood transfusion and a shit ton of stitches, though. Bomber Jack is just outside the door keeping watch, but I'm still wound tight, as it seems nobody saw anything when this happened. Her partner said she didn't see anything. Shit like this doesn't go without repercussion, not in my world, and it's killing me to sit here idle. I'm bloodthirsty, and feeling like the fucking criminal I've been pegged for my whole life. The hospital door opens, and I jump alert, my hand reaching for my gun. It's Zeke, with two cups in each of his hands. I relax, sitting back in the stiff-as-hell recliner beside Alessandra. "How is she?" Zeke asks, looking her over. "She's good," I mutter, running my palm down my face. I'm fucking exhausted. Zeke hands me a cup of coffee, and I take a small sip. It's good, but I really want a bottle of Jack right now. My mind is everywhere, and my fucking emotions are even worse. Zeke leans against the wall, a raised brow in my direction. "Jillian is up my ass wanting to know what happened." I sigh. "From what I got from her, her partner Raven checked the house and said it was clear, and it obviously wasn't." I scoff. "Nobody saw anything, or they ain't talking." "The partner must have been the one who called Jillian. Has she shown up here?" Zeke questions. "Not that I know of." I shake my head, setting the coffee down between my feet. Looking up at Zeke, I clasp my hands together. "You don't think it was club-related, do you?" Adjusting his stance, he blows out a steady breath. "Hard to tell at this point. We're all fucking targets. We need more information from her when she wakes up to tell, for sure." He shrugs a shoulder. "Well, when she wakes, I'm taking her back to the club. This place is a joke. She still has blood all over her," I huff, pointing at her side that is stained with dry blood. Alessandra stirs, her hand flexing, looking for mine. Quickly, I lace my fingers with hers, letting her know that I'm here, and she settles. She's pushing her way into my fucked-up way of life. With her smart mouth, dark past, and sexy legs, I didn't have a chance to begin with. She may look innocent and sweet, but she knows how to leave her mark on a man. "Have you told her yet?"
"About what?"
My tone vague. I know what he's talking about, but I'm not ready to tell her that. She has a past, and has a monster deep inside of her. I'm just not sure how dark that monster is once it's been released.
"You know what?" Zeke snaps.
Inhaling a deep breath, I shake my head.
"Not yet," I mutter.
Just make sure you know what you're doing, brother." Zeke's voice is soft, but his point is sharp. His eyes on mine and Alessandra's tangled fingers. I don't like the way his stare makes me feel. I shoot my eyes to his, anger pumping my chest.
"What does that mean?"
I snap, wanting so bad to take Alessandra away from everyone so we can just be us and alone, not having to worry about labels or what people think, what we think, just us, doing what we fucking do best.
"Means I've never seen you like this. Both of his brows raised to his hairline, his tone laced with surprise, maybe even a hint of fear. Glancing back at Alessandra, the look of her hits me in the chest, that unfamiliar feeling taking hold of me again. It's a mixture of feelings that don't even belong in the same sentence, let alone to feel all at the same time. Lust, fear, dominant, protector, jealousy, vengeful, love. That makes two of us, brother, I whisper. I've never had someone care about me, or teach me how to love someone outside the club. I'm not normally scared of new things. It comes with the territory of an outlaw. But this, I'm fucking terrified, because I don't think I can give Alessandra what she deserves. A man that is capable of normal emotions. I'm biker trash, and that's all I'll ever be able to give her. A world of chaos and demons.
Chapter 8. Alessandra. Waking up, I feel stiff and very sore, and my hand is sweaty and cramped. Opening my eyes, I follow my arm down to my hand, finding Felix asleep in the chair holding it. As if he can sense me awake, his eyes snap open, and he sits up straight.
How are you feeling? He asks huskily, rubbing his face with his free hand.
Like someone stabbed me, I croak. I shift in the hard bed, not very comfortable, and I'm starving for something greasy.
I want to get you out of here, take you back to the club, Felix states,
wasting no time to tell me what he's thinking. Then what? I shrug, cautious where we go from here.
You ask a lot of fucking questions.
He raises a brow, his tone unamused.
Is that a problem, to ask questions?
I tilt my head to the side. He rubs at his chin, his long caramel-colored hair falling into his face.
It is when I don't have the answers, especially the ones you're looking for, dirty bird, he replies honestly,
and that slice in my side begins to burn. Has Raven come to see me? I ask, trying to sit up. Felix shakes his head, and I can't help the look of confusion that crosses my face. Why wouldn't she come see me? Noticing my confusion, Felix stiffens.
What aren't you telling me?
Taking a long breath, I rub at my forehead nervously. She checked that room and said it was clear.
Yeah, you told me when you were half drugged up yesterday, he informs.
So is she just a shitty cop, or did she set me up? I ask myself, rather than state to Felix. Felix's shoulders rise as if he's about to explode with rage, his thick brows slicing inward.
Let's get you out of here and I'll look into it, he mutters,
with so much force I can tell he's ready to draw blood. Something warm surfaces, knowing he'd go lengths for me. But then again, I don't want to be the reason for another bloodbath. Besides, I can handle my own shit.
Felix.
I shake my head with hesitation. Don't. I'm just paranoid. Obviously, I've been hanging around you too much. Scared everyone is out to get me. I roll my eyes for effect. Felix stands, looking down at me with heated eyes. They pin me where I lay, making my body come back alive in a heartbeat.
That's because I've learned from personal experience to trust very few people in my life. You get to throwing your loyalty around too easily, and that is when you get stabbed in the back.
My eyes snap to his words making so much sense. Especially since I was just literally stabbed. Holding the crook of my arm, he pulls the IV out and presses his finger down where a trickle of blood tries to escape. A slight sting races up my arm from the IV being torn out.
What are you doing? I ask with alarm. Getting you out of here, Felix informs as if it's obvious.
He throws the blanket off of me, and I notice I'm wearing a hospital gown, and it covers very little. My thighs are showing, and it dips down low to my breast. I try to pull on it, but it does no good. Shouldn't a nurse check me out, or I need to sign some papers? I squirm. Felix flinches with my suggestion, like I'm being ridiculous. Fuck that. I'm taking you back to my club, to my bed, and nobody is stopping me from that, he retorts. He slides his arms under my body and lifts me from the bed. I wrap an arm around his neck and pull him in close out of instinct. The feel of his warm, hard body against mine is all I need to know that I'm safe. His strong scent of leather and spice bringing me home. Felix steps outside my room, and I notice Machete and Gat standing guard. Get the truck. We're leaving, Felix orders, his voice rumbling through my body. Sir? A concerned nurse rounds the nurse's station, her hair a frizzy mess, and her Looney Tunes scrubs wrinkled.
You can't just take her without a doctor's consent.
Felix's grip tightens around my body as he holds me close. He lowers his head, his eyes hooded and daring. Little hairs on the back of my neck stand, seeing a darkness cross him. His body stiffens beneath me, and his heartbeat throbs in his temples. You going to stop me? Felix growls, challenging her. The nurse stops, her hands fumbling with the bottom hem of her top as she looks the other way. I didn't think so, Felix clips. He stomps toward the entrance, and I can't help but nuzzle the crook of his neck. There is nowhere else I would rather be. It both disturbs me and excites me.
Felix. When Machete parks the SUV, I scoop Alessandra up and slide out of the back seat. We don't even make it to the front door before Jillian rushes out in complete panic.
Oh my God, Alessandra! I was so worried. Me and your mother wanted to come, but they wouldn't let us.
I step past her into the club, and she continues to follow us, blubbering in tears. Her mother is trying to dance with Mac, who's standing on the couch with a broom to keep her back. I can't help but smirk at the scene, until my eyes fall on Zeke standing by the bar with his arms crossed, eyeing me. That look of hardness judging me as I hold on to Alessandra. I return the fuck you stare and make my way down the hall where I run into Machete. Get the doctor to come check her out. Make sure to get whatever fucking meds we need and shit, I tell him. On it, he gives a curt nod.
Are you okay? Jillian asks, stepping up behind us. I'm fine, Jillian. I promise.
Alessandra tries to soothe Jillian over my shoulder as I ain't fucking stopping. Making it to my door, I kick it open and shut it, locking it.
You couldn't even stop and let me talk to her?
Alessandra snaps hatefully. I glare at her tone. Nope. Stopping means questioning. Questions from my boys wanting to know why I'm stuck to Alessandra like a love-struck boyfriend, and I ain't ready to find the answer to that. Slowly I lay her on the bed and pull out of my cut and jeans. Grabbing my shirt, I tug it over my head and slide in beside her, tearing the cheap hospital gown off of her. Her cheeks turn a shade of red, but I don't give a fuck about her humility. It took everything I had not to slide into that shitty hospital bed and feel her skin against mine, to feel her heartbeat and know she was going to be okay. Hovering over her, my hands slide along her bare arms, my lips and nose brushing against her silky skin. The smell of honey and coconut taking me to a paradise that is in the sun and not cold darkness that has become my life. Sliding my hands along her side, I stop at her wound and slowly lower my head, gently kissing around it as if the remedy to her pain is held in my lips. Her fingers tangle into my hair in a caring manner as I continue to kiss her body.
Felix, she whispers.
Yeah? I glance up at her.
Us? This? What does it mean?
I'm so sick of that question, as I don't fucking know and don't want to think about it. It scares me because my biggest fear is I don't deserve this and it will be taken away from me. That's what I plan to figure out, and we ain't leaving this bed until we do, I tell her. Sliding up beside her, I pull her into me. Her ass fits into my body's curve perfectly, like she was made for me. Who knew someone so wrong for me, so opposite, would break everything I ever knew, demolish the code of outlaw, and rebrand the criminal that I am? 2 days later. Music from the bar is loud and thumping Wrong Side of Heaven by Five Finger Death Punch. It makes me wonder how Jillian gets those kids to sleep with all of the noise, but that isn't what wakes me up. Alessandra crying does.
No, I don't want to,
she wails, and I take a hand right to the mouth.
What the fuck?
I sit up and find her face clenched tight with fear, and she's covered in sweat.
Blackbird,
I whisper loudly, trying to shake her awake. She begins to slap at me, screaming no, and I become frustrated. I take a fist to the jaw, a knee to the chest, and a slap to the face in the process of trying to wake her from her nightmare. I grasp her by the throat to pin her down from hitting me, and it's as if I just injected her with a sedative. She relaxes instantly in my hold. My brows furrow in confusion as I stare at her, her eyes now open and looking up at me. It seems every time I grab her here, it's as if she gives me complete control of herself. It has to be related to her past. Shifting next to her, my hand still on her throat, I rest my head back on my pillow. These feelings I have for her are strong. I don't know if it's love because I've never felt it before. I don't want to be in love. Nobody will look at me with fear but as a man who's pussy-whipped. I am not that, nor will I ever be. I am in control, strong, and the fucking vice president of the Sin City Outlaws. I don't love you, I whisper into the back of her head, making sure she knows I'm not the prince to save her from her fucked-up world. I'm the villain in her world, and that needs to be very clear.
I don't love you back,
she mutters.
Chapter 9. Alessandra. Waking up, a hand is tight around my collarbone, and I feel on cloud 9. Safe. And like I'm home. Felix stirs next to me and removes his hand from my throat, and it's as if I was suddenly dumped into an ice bath with a void that is left behind. Why I feel like that is scary. I shouldn't like to be held around the throat like that. I can't help it, though. When he does it, I just feel instantly safe. I don't have to pretend to be in control, because I'm giving it to him. I trust him. Using both hands, he runs them down his face and rolls onto his side, his sleepy eyes finding mine.
Do you remember the nightmare you had last night? He asks softly.
I furrow my brows, not remembering waking up at all. No. Really? He tilts his head to the side with disbelief. I shake my head. No, I don't remember anything. Why? What happened? God, I hope I didn't say anything embarrassing.
You just started hitting me and yelling. I felt like I was in the ring with WWE or something, he chuckles, and I can't help but giggle.
I get nightmares a lot. They're always the same, I mutter, tracing a tattoo of a skull on his arm.
What are they about?
I shrug. A little girl. She's covered in blood and scared, pushed to kill. Sometimes the little girl is jumping off a cliff, I explain. They seem so real and familiar that I'm usually sick the next day after an episode. Felix's face hardens and he looks straight up at the ceiling. You okay? I ask. His head snaps to mine, a look of confliction clouding his eyes. Yeah, he mumbles, his tone of voice thick with emotion. Rubbing his scruffy chin, I can't help but want to know more about this man. Why do they call you Felix? I ask with a smile, and he turns his head my way.
"What do you want to know?" he replies with a husky tone that has my nipples budding with longing. I shrug as I casually circle that tattoo of a praying lady on his bicep. My mother was a club hang-around. A slut, if I'm being honest. She had a Felix the Cat tattoo on her lower back, my dad said. When she had me, she left me at the hospital with not so much as a name. She wrote my dad's name and number on the birth certificate, though, and he came and got me. Called me Felix. He tells the story that has my brows furrowing with anger and sympathy. There is no emotion in his tone, as if he's detached from the most important thing that makes him... him. My dad said I look like my mother in the face, he whispers, and I take notice he doesn't have the Italian look that Zeke does. His brows and long hair are thick, but his skin is of a lighter color. So it's true, you were raised by the club, I state rather than ask. They said one of them was raised by the club and has no respect for the law or the well-being of others, more so than any of the other men. Is that something you learned in the academy? He smarts with a huff. I silently laugh. Actually, yeah. It's kind of crazy they make us learn about you guys before we can pass. But actually, seeing you guys up close, I can say they are wrong about you guys, I mutter softly. No, they're not. It's just very few get to see a side nobody else does. He exhales before running his hands down his face, as if he didn't mean to say that out loud. I can tell by the way he's tensing, he's done talking about him. How is your side? He pulls the sheets down and inspects my wound. My stomach knots when I notice I'm still naked. I forgot he tore the hospital gown from my body yesterday and pulled me into him like he'd been dying to have me by his side for days. It itches and is a little sensitive, I inform, watching the beady strings snake in and out of my side. Felix slides out of bed and his hard, clenched butt cheeks come into full view. Anything painful that might have been on my mind disappears as a blush of desire heats my skin. Rubbing my thighs together, I bite my bottom lip and think of anything else but sex. I have to go to the station today, make my statement about what happened, I tell him. I'll take you, he tells me rather than asks. I can't help but roll my eyes at his controlling attitude. Same old Felix. He bends over, messing with the radio, and Seether Broken thumps through the speakers. I haven't heard this song in forever. Felix disappears into the bathroom and comes out with a tube of Vaseline. Kneeling on the floor, he leans over the mattress and dabs some goo on the tip of his finger and slowly, and very carefully, applies it to my side. His eyes focused and strong as his hands make me feel more than better. Suddenly, the door is opened, and both Felix and I jerk our attention to the door. Gia stands there in a black Harley shirt and frayed shorts, her eyes wide and angry as she stares at us. I grab the sheet to cover myself, but Felix just turns his attention back to my wound. Get out, he states with force. Why? She asks. Why her? Gia's voice clogs with emotion. Felix sighs and stands. Grabbing his junk, he pins her with a deathly stare. I said get out, he warns. Look at this! Look at you! She cries, pointing at me. What? What is it you think you see? Felix barks, making me jump where I sit. You care for her. I've never seen you look or touch someone like you do her. Tears slip down her face, and I almost feel sorry for her. You need to go, Felix repeats, grabbing the door. Gia puts her foot in the door. Do you love her? Felix kicks her foot out of the way and slams the door.
I swallow the lump in my throat and avert my eyes back to the bed. He struts back to the bed and kneels down. His eyes pull to mine, and a knowing look crosses his face. His hands slide down to my thighs, and he jerks me to the edge of the bed. I laugh, wrapping my arms around his neck. Pressing his lips to mine, I kiss him back, lost in the smell of him, his hard touch, and the good music. This feels too right. Who cares if anyone outside this room thinks it's wrong? He swings us and lays my back onto the floor, my legs straddling around his hard waist. The tip of his throbbing cock brushes against my clit, and I suck in a tight breath. A thunderstorm developing between my legs from the anticipation. Running my nails down his hard chest, I lean forward and grab his sexy nipple between my teeth. His lips against my neck, he hisses from the pressure I apply on the delicate skin. Pulling his lips to my mouth, his mouth fits mine perfectly, the warmth of his body throwing my heartbeat into orbit. He slips his hard cock inside of me slowly and attentively, dark eyes never leaving mine as he goes as deep as he can inside. His hips slowly make love to me as his tongue mimics his thrusting torso. He stretches me, fills me, and takes me away from my pain. When Felix and I are together like this, it's as if we aren't even on the same planet as everyone else. It's just him and me in our own world. No one matters, and everything blurs. He is an outlaw in public and a master in the bedroom. The sound of his heartbeat grounds me. The brush of his lips across my skin comforts me. The feel of his rough hands along my body claiming me as his. It's an emotion all on its own, one I've grown addicted to and will be broken and misplaced without. His long hair falls from his face and tickles my collarbone. Taking my attention from his chest to his head, I fist his silky hair as I ride his large cock. The floor bites into my back, the dirt rubbing into my skin as I'm shuffled back and forth. The heat of his body on mine and the feel of bliss between my legs, a piece of heaven I never want to end. If I die, this is how I want to go out, just like this. He places a hand by my head on the floor, his arms flexing as he holds himself up. He's so strong and sexy, I want him all to myself. I want to be his. Wrapping my hands around his back, I dig my nails in, pulling him closer to me as tingles began to ignite in my core. My breathing picks up and pressure builds to heights of pleasure I can't explain. His brows furrow, his rhythm picking up as he's about to come with me. My mouth opens into a shape of an O, and he gently places his hand on my collarbone, and I free fall into ecstasy, giving every ounce that I am to Felix. A knock on the door has us snap out of our world, and the door is jerked open again. "God damn it!" Felix roars, trying to cover my naked body with his own.
"Church, brother," Machete informs.
Felix snatches the sheet off the bed and throws it over me in a matter of seconds.
"Get the fuck out!"
Felix points at him with a sharp finger, his tone conveying he's not to be argued with. Machete chuckles, not taking the tone of Felix seriously, as his eyes linger on me a second longer than necessary before closing the door.
"I'll be back," he whispers against my lips.
"Okay," I smile, and he gently pulls out of me. As I watch him get dressed, I wonder when the hell we became this. What I allowed myself to fall into, as I am falling for Felix, and I didn't want to. I never wanted to fall for any man. I'm scared of being hurt, scarred, and broken-hearted. One-night stands don't come with shattered hearts or feelings. But this, whatever it is, it's real and happening whether I want it to or not. It's out of my control. And that is a first for me. Felix is showing me how to live, and I'm going to show him how to love, even if it kills us.
Felix. Sitting at the table, I can smell her on my skin, still feel her legs wrapped around me, and it's taking everything I have not to stand up from this table and go back to her. I can still feel her pussy squeezing around my cock, and her nails digging into my back. I've tasted Alessandra, and I can't forget her flavor no matter how hard I try. "Did you hear me, Felix?" Zeke asks, and I snap to. "What? Salvatore at the casino wants to see us again. I need my VP with me," he tells me. "What about Alessandra? She has to go to the station today and make a statement," I ask, trying not to come off like a little bitch, but it's failing. "Gats will go with her, and we'll bring her back as soon as she's done. I need you with me. End of," Zeke sneers. Rolling my fingers into my palm, I clench my fists tight, wanting so badly to punch Zeke in his arrogant mouth. I think he forgets the shit this club went through for Jillian. "Fine," I mutter, pushing away from the table. "I swear to God, if Gats fucks this up, I'll find that purple dildo and shove it up his ass." Max steps in front of me and hands me a phone. "What's this?" "Give it to Alessandra. It's got a tracker on it, and nobody but I can trace it," he explains. "Just a precaution," he continues with a proud smile. Alessandra wasn't given a phone with her belongings, so that means someone at the department has it. Probably that Raven bitch, which I don't trust. It's her fault Alessandra was nearly killed. Even Alessandra is questioning where Raven's loyalty lies. "Hey, can you run Alessandra's partner Raven in your computer shit?" He folds his arms and looks at me, offended. "Of course. Why, what's up?" "I don't trust that bitch. I want everything you can find on her," I tell him. "Everything," I reiterate. "Yeah, I'll see what I can dig up," he shrugs. "Thanks, man." Stepping back into the room, Alessandra is dressed and putting her dark hair into a messy ponytail. My chest squeezes, wanting to pull her to me and rip her clothes off. Something so beautiful should never be covered, and I would come through on that deed if duty didn't call. "I can't go with you to the station. Zeke needs me, so Gats is going to take you," I tell her before taking a seat on the bed. She giggles and pulls my hands from my knees, sitting on my lap. "You say it like you're jealous," she says with a smile. She's right, I am, and I don't like it, not at all. I want to lock her away so nobody can see her but me. Nobody can smell how sweet she is but me. Nobody can have her but me. Sliding my hand up her back, I fist her hair hard. "I'm not a jealous man, but I find myself claiming you." The words take me by surprise, but they're true. She is mine, and I won't take it back. Her eyes flash longingly, and she cups my cheek softly. "Do you have a problem with that?" I question. Her eyes flick between mine before a smirk crosses her gorgeous face. "I don't think I have much say in the matter," she laughs. Leaning forward, I rest my lips against her, that unfamiliar feeling in my chest making me feel a million things at once again. "That's because you don't. Neither of us does," I mutter against her plush lips, my eyes on hers and the softness she conveys making me feel vulnerable. "I don't love you," I tell her, needing to hear myself say it. Pulling back, she raises a brow. "I don't love you back." I smirk, not fully believing her. The way her hand swayed toward mine in her darkest hour, I'd say she cares for me. She just doesn't want to admit it. She's a strong creature like me. Falling in love feels like a weakness, as we can't control it, and we control everything. She slides off my lap, her fine ass swaying back and forth, and I can't help but give it a squeeze, loving the way it feels in my hands. It's soft but toned. My dick jumps, wanting to stick it in her ass, see her body arch as I fill her. I gotta go. She looks over her shoulder, batting her eyes, and my gaze jumps from her ass to her eyes. Take this. I hand her the phone. She frowns, holding it. I have a phone. Raven has your phone, and I don't trust her. Take this one. Mac has it souped up and shit. I insist. She shrugs and tucks it in her back pocket. Fine, only because you're annoying me, she replies seriously, before stepping out of the room. That defying mouth, the smell of her lingering in the room. What the fuck is happening to me? I don't love her. I don't love her. I don't love her. I whisper to myself, thudding my fist against the closed door. I can't love her. I don't deserve her. I've done nothing but been selfish and greedy my whole life. And finding her hasn't changed me. It made those attributes worse. I'm a fucking convict, and will escort anyone within distance to hell with me. And I'm willing to take Alessandra first fucking class.
Alessandra. Stepping out of the room, I find my mother whistling happily and sweeping the floor. She's wearing jeans and a Sin City Outlaws shirt, her hair in a black bandana. She looks good and happy. Hey, Mom, I say cheerfully, not sure if she's in a moment of clarity or not. She looks over her shoulder and lights up. Hey, I was going to come see you, but with that big old biker in there, I didn't know what I'd walk in on. She winks before laughing. My cheeks turn red, and I rub my neck anxiously. How are you? She asks, touching my shoulder tenderly. Better, but my stitches feel tight. I twist my torso with a frown on my body. Yeah, your daddy never did like those much either, she informs, and the smile crossing my face is bittersweet. I'm still torn, thinking of him not being my father. Mac walks out of a room in nothing but a low-rise pair of jeans. He looks at us before doing a double take, his eyes wide as he walks as fast as he can into the bathroom across the hall. Mom fans herself with her hand not holding the broom. That man reminds me so much of your father, she exhales, and I can't help but laugh. I better go freshen up. She winks at me before disappearing into another room. I don't even know what to say to that. Walking down the hall, Gia starts down the hallway. She's wearing short shorts and a ripped AC/DC shirt. She'd be pretty if she wasn't after Felix. My shoulders tense, and my resting bitch face immediately falls into place. She stops in front of me, her hand on her hip. You're still here? She sneers. You don't belong here, and you know it. My brows narrow in on her, taking a step toward her. I'm done with the games, and if it means I have to tear her hair extensions out to make my claim on Felix, then I will. Felix is mine, and if he hasn't made that clear, let me. If you so much as flip your hair in his direction, I will make your face look like your botched tit job. My eyes fall to her unleveled breasts before meeting her gaze. Her mouth drops, a gasp escaping. You're a cop. No matter what you think you have, you'll never be a part of this. I will kill you, and I promise you, nobody will find your body. I threaten, my words not only catching me by surprise, but Gia's jaw falls open with disbelief.
Get the fuck out of here, Gia, Mac barks from behind her, making her jump where she stands.
Her eyes begin to fill with tears as she looks at Mac with pleading eyes.
You heard me. Go before Felix finds out you're fucking harassing his bitch.
Mac rubs at his chin, eyeing her up and down.
Now if you need someone's dick to keep you company, I'd be more than happy to oblige you. He winks,
and Gia lights up like a fucking Christmas tree. Wow, you really are a hoe, I mutter. But she either doesn't hear me or doesn't care, because she slips into the next room with a smile on her face. It makes me wonder if the men share medicine with their crabs, seeing how they share their women. I give Mac a tight-lipped smile and exhale the hostility brewing inside of me. I could have handled her, but thank you. He scoffs.
I saw how you handled Dolly. I can't have you beating up all our ass around here. He chuckles, and I laugh.
He steps past me, the smell of cologne strong, the tattoos all over his arms catching.
Oh, and I just want to say I've met some scary motherfuckers in my life, but your mother takes the goddamn cake, Alessandra, he says seriously.
I shrug and continue down the hallway. Be scared if she busts out the pepper spray, I tip him.
She has pepper spray, he says with dread.
Turning to walk backwards so I can see him, I nod. Oh, yeah, we don't go anywhere without it, I reply as casually as I can, and the look on his face has me nearly bursting at the seams with laughter. Getting into the SUV with Gats, I notice the kid from the other day, Bishop, hauling boxes in the back door of the club. He looks clean and on a mission. He looks up, his eyes catching me staring, and he stops in his tracks and gives a lift of the chin. I wink at him, a smile spreading across my face seeing him here.
You sent him, didn't you?
I turn where I stand, finding Jillian smiling at me with Sam on her hip. He needs a home, a brotherhood that will protect him, I explain to her. She sighs, leaning against the car.
I get it. You always did go about things different than the book, she chuckles.
I look down, not sure how much she knows about me going off the rulebook of the department. In fact, I don't know how much more of the rulebook I can follow or want to follow. Being here the short time I have, I've started to question what I really want in life. Did I just join the force because of my father and I didn't know where to go in life? Because it's starting to feel that way. How are you doing? She eyes my side and I shrug, drawing circles into the dust of the SUV. The metal of the car warm beneath the pat of my finger. I'll live, I smile. She leans in and hugs me, surprising me.
I know it's a part of the job, but God damn, you scared me, she whispers in my ear.
Baby Sam starts to cry, being smushed in between us, and she pulls back. My eyes prick with tears, and I have to look away, or I might cry at how much she cares for me.
Stop it, Hooker. You're going to make me cry, I swat at her.
Suddenly, Matt comes running out of the clubhouse, a look of fear on his face as he looks over his shoulder, probably running from my mother.
I see Mom is enjoying it here,
I smile, wiping a tear that is